Huh. All right, welcome everybody to Hebrew Club. Good to see everybody. Beautiful Thursday. We are on 2 Samuel chapter 13, and we're just about ready to start verse 18, and this is kind of a crucial place in the story. In the previous verses, remember, Amnon had raped Tamar, and he told her to get out, and she wouldn't leave. Because she said, you know, to do that is worse than what you did to me before. And so in verse 17, where we left off, remember, Amnon, cold-blooded, called his na'ar, his attendant, and told him, please send her away from me to the outside. And then told him to lock the door behind her. So notice that's the last three words of verse 17. You see that. U-na'ol from na'al means to lock, so you have that imperative. And lock hadelet, the door, achareha, behind her. Okay, that's how cold-blooded he was. All right, so we're going to start at verse 18 and continue the story from there. So, ve'ale'leha ketonet pasim ki kain tilbashna venot hamelech habetula me'ilim Vayotzeota mesharto hachutz v'na'al hadelet achareha. Okay, now here notice there's a little aside, all right? So it says, lock the door behind her. And so here's like you have this little parenthesis. Now, al eha, on her or to her, was a ketonet pasim. Ketonet is a tunic. And then pasim, remember, that's the same word. Actually, this is the exact same expression that in Genesis chapter 37, this is the kind of coat that Jacob made for his son Joseph. It was a ketonet pasim. And remember, it's translated in King James, maybe a coat of many colors. But no one is really sure what the pasim refers to. Sometimes it's translated as long-sleeved or a long-hemmed. There's something distinctive about it.
I've heard translated as a coat of palms and feet.
Yeah.
Like little colored patches.
Yeah, so it was something distinctive about it, because notice what it says next. So to her was a ketonet pasim, this tunic, had a certain distinction. Ki kain, for thus tilbashna. This is from the root lavash, to dress, and notice it's third feminine, plural, and it is an imperfect form because notice that it's habitual action. When you're talking about habitual action in the past, notice in a narrative, you use the prefix tense, okay? So it'd be like this, for in this way they would dress, or they used to dress. Namely, the benot hamelech, the daughters of the king. Habetulot, the virgin daughters of the king. So notice how that phrase goes. For thus, the daughters of the king, the virgin ones, the virgin daughters, would wear me'ilim, and me'ilim means robe. So this is a plural for robes. So for in this way, the virgin daughters of the king would wear me'ilim, their robes. And notice I'm supplying the suffix to it, okay? So in other words, there's something distinctive about the ketonet pasim. The daughters of the king all wore this, the unmarried, the virgin daughters of the king, all right? So he gives us this aside. She was wearing this particular kind of clothing, okay? Vayotzeota mesharto hachutz. Vayotze, notice that is a hifil vav consecutive from yatza. You know it's a hifil because of the holim after the yud and the tsere under the tzadi, all right? Yatza means to go out. Here it takes a direct object to bring out. And the subject is mesharto, his attendant, his servant, and ota. So, and his servant sent her, ota, hachutz, to the outside, okay? Now notice what happens. It's really interesting here. Ve na'al hadelet achare'a. And he locked the door behind her. Notice the tense of na'al. It's not a vav consecutive. It's a vav plus perfect. it's kind of an interesting switch here. Notice vayotze is a vav consecutive imperfect. And you would expect then he sent her to the outside and then another vav consecutive imperfect. And he locked the door behind her. But you don't. You get a vav plus perfect. Now, the reason, again, there's a number of reasons. And remember, you guys that were in are in Hebrew class with me. Remember, we had the same phenomenon in 2 Samuel 7, where all of a sudden it switches from vav consecutive to vav plus perfects, and you don't expect it. One of the reasons could be it's colloquial. It's just a lower substandard Hebrew, and you kind of more spoken kind of dialectical stuff, so you see these kinds of forms. Another reason could be that it's rhetorical, that it's marking kind of a dramatic point in the story. See, I mean, you know, when you're thinking about it as a reader, you come to this, what could be more cold-blooded than to rape your own sister? And then when he says, you know, get away from me, he tells his servant to lock the door, and then she carries it out. The same thing happens here. If you guys just keep your place here, but turn back to Judges 3. It's kind of an interesting parallel here. Judges chapter 3, verse 23. Judges chapter, this is the story of the left-hand judge, Ehud, and when he stabs Eglon. So this verse comes after he has stuck the knife in Eglon's blubber. Remember how it's described, and the fat comes over the hilt, and it kind of sucks the knife in. Okay. Well, verse 23, so Judges 3:23. So now remember, Ehud is making his escape. That's what this verse is about. So Vayetze Ehud. So Ehud went out, and Misderonah refers to some vestibule probably, or some kind of structure. So he went out the vestibule, we'll say. Vayiskor, and he shut Dalto, the doors of the Aliyah, the doors of the upper room, Ba'ado, behind him. Now notice the form. Vena'al, vav plus perfect, and he locked it. So notice, again, you have the same thing, vav consecutive with vayetze, vav consecutive vayiskor. You would expect vav consecutive, instead you get a vav plus perfect, and again, it's kind of at a high point, a kind of a dramatic point in the narrative after he has killed Eglon. So you could make the argument that this is rhetorical. It's kind of a dramatic thing that he's calling your attention to. But, you know, we just can't be sure.
Why the difference in the forms between the Pathak and the
Karmet? Because it's in the Judges one, it's at the end of the verse, the Sofpat Suk, so you get the pausal form, so it lengthens. Otherwise, they're both vav plus perfects. Okay? All right, good. Any questions about verse 18? All right, verse 19. Vayikach Tamar, Efer al Rosha, u ketonet hapasim asher aleha kara'a. Vatasem yada al Rosha, vatelik halok ve za'aka. Okay. Then Tamar took from Lakach, vatikach, then Tamar took Efer, dust, on Rosha, on her head. So we'd probably say, Tamar put dust on her head, Rosha. Uketonet hapasim, and the let's just say long sleeve tunic, which was aleha on her, kara'a, she tore. Okay, that's why we got that reference before. Kara'a is a simple call, perfect, third feminine singular. And here, Ben, you see another example of what happens when a word is in pause, because the shva under the resh has lengthened to a kamatz. It makes the form look strange, but it's a simple call, third feminine singular, like katala. But here it's kara'a. And you put the accent like that, kara'a, because they want you to pause right there. She tore it. Okay? Vayasem yada, and she put her hand, yada, on her head. So that vatasem is from seam, call, third feminine singular. Okay? And she put her hand on her head. Now notice the next construction, vatelek, and she walked. Okay, everybody see that's from halak. Now notice the next form, and she walked, halok ve za'aka. Okay, halok is an infinitive absolute, followed by a vav plus third feminine singular form. Za'ak is the root that means to cry out. Notice it's the third feminine singular. So she cried out. So I just want you to notice she walked, and you would translate it literally or very woodenly. She walked, walking and crying. This is the Hebrew way that you, when you want to put two actions together that are happening at the same time, you do it with an infinitive, usually, sometimes a participle, plus then another verb form. So we would translate it like this, and so she and she went crying out as she walked. See, so the crying and the walking happened at the same time. Now, I just want you to see that that's a infinitive absolute plus a vav plus perfect. I have some other passages here that I want you guys to look at so you get familiar with it. This is kind of an interesting idiom. So just keep your place there, but go to 2 Samuel 16, just a couple chapters up. 2 Samuel 16, verse 13. This is, notice that this, we're going to hit this one again, so when you see it, you'll recognize it. This is where David is being cursed by Shim'i. Now notice the after the Setumah, you have Ve Shim'i. That's a name of a mad person. Shim'i, right in the middle of the verse 13, 2 Samuel 16, verse 13. Ve Shim'i, that's Shim'i, was holaking, was walking Be Zelahar, was walking at the around the side of the mountain. Okay, Le Umato. And that's another word you guys haven't had, but it means close by him. And see, in other words, David is coming back to Jerusalem, and Shim'i is walking by him, okay? Now notice the next phrase, halok va'yekalel. Notice that you have the infinitive plus a vav consecutive this time. So he was walking next to him, walking, and he cursed. But we would translate, you see, he was walking at the side of the mountain. He cursed him as he walked. And then Vayesakel, and he threw stones at the men. And then it says he kicked dust on them too. But notice the phrase, but in this case, it's an infinitive absolute plus a vav consecutive, imperfect. All right? And there's a few other examples of this so that you can have a vav plus perfect following the infinitive absolute, halok. You can have a vav consecutive imperfect. Sometimes you can have another participle, all right? And so you'll see this when you want to have two actions happening at the same time. This is the way that the Hebrew does it, all right? Good. Any questions through 19? Everybody got it?
Would you call that a hindaki? Is that the technical term for it?
Yeah, I mean, if you, right. Although I don't know if that's the best word because it's two different ideas. I mean, he's doing two actions. He's walking. See, remember, notice, vav consecutives usually means this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. Here, it's he's walking, and as he's doing it, he's crying. And so I just want to show you that following the infinitive, there's different ways to construe the next verb. In English, we almost always do it with as. Walked as he cried, cried as he walked, something like that. Okay, 20. Vayomer eleha avshalom achiha. Ha aminom achik haya imak vata choti harishi achik hu al tasiti et libek ladvar hazeh vateshev tamar veshomema beit av shalom achiha. Okay, here's another interesting turn in the story. Okay, Vayomer Eleha Absalom. Then Absalom Achiha. Notice that that means her brother. Okay, remember, you know it's singular or plural. If there's one dot under the chet, it's always singular, more than one, plural. So, Absalom, her brother, said to her. Now, the hey on this next word is a interrogative hey, and Aminon is just an alternative spelling for Amnon, which we've seen before. That's his brother. Amnon, your brother, was with you. But make it a question. Was Amnon, your brother, Imak, with you? Okay. Ve'ata, and now, achoti, my sister. Okay, now here comes the damning word. Now, my sister. Hacharishi, achikahu. Charash means to be silent. Notice that this is a hifil imperative from charash, feminine singular. Everybody see that? Like katal haktil or haktail, haktili, so hacharishi, and it means keep silent. Okay? And so, my sister, keep silent. Your brother he is. So achik hu, he is your brother. Al tashiti et libeik. Do not put your heart la davar hazeh, to this thing. See? Do not put your heart to this thing. Or, see, in some translations, we would say, don't take this to heart. Okay? Again, there's a gap in our understanding. Was he trying to minimize what had happened? Or was he, is this kind of a strategy he had? I mean, notice the keep silence. If you are a woman reader, that is, again, suppressing the voice of the female in the text. See, she has no voice of her own, and her brother says, keep silent. He's your brother. So, see, in other words, there's a gap that in our obvious understanding of the culture and also the force of what he's saying, although we find out later that Absalom takes his revenge. Okay, so then the rest of the verse, Vateshev, that's from Yashav, and so she dwelt, namely Tamar, and Tamar dwelt or stayed, let's just translate that way, and so Tamar stayed. Veshomema, this is a feminine participle from shamam, to be desolate, to be destroyed. Yeah, shamam. So, and so Tamar stayed, and she was desolate in the house of Absalom Achiha, her brother. Okay, everybody see that? So Tamar stayed, yeah, desolate. Now, does that mean disconsolate? I mean, in other words, was she? Does that mean her state of mind? She was just, you know, unable to be comforted, totally grieving. Does it mean that for the rest of her life she was, isolated? I don't know. I'm not quite sure what the force of that is here in this. But you notice that she lived with Absalom. Okay. Now here's the next thing. Verse 21, what happens? Kind of a damning situation. V'hamelech David shamar et kol ha-devarim ha'ela v'yichar lo me'od. Now, the king, notice here the title is fronted. The king, the implication is the king can do what he wants, okay? But he doesn't. V'hamelech David, now the king David shamar heard et kol ha-devarim ha'ela. Heard all these things. Vayichar lo me'od. This is from the root chara. Okay, it's a call, imperfect vav, consecutive, to be hot, to become angry. And there was anger to him, me'od, a lot. There was great anger to him. Okay? The thing is, he doesn't do anything. All the text says, there was great anger to him. All right? Verse 22, Velo diber Absalom, Abshalom, im Amnon lemeira va'ad tov. Okay. And Absalom did not speak, diber, velo diber. But Absalom did not speak with Amnon. Lemeira va'ad tov. Ra is just evil, min le. Again, remember how Hebrew loves to put together prepositions. So it'd be two from evil and too good. And in English we'd say, but Absalom did not speak with Amnon either for good or evil. See? So he said nothing to him. Ki saneav shalom et Amnon. For Absalom sane, you all know that, hated Amnon. Al devar asher inna et Tamar achoto. Over the matter which, we would say, on account of, al devar asher, he had raped. This is, remember, the piel from Ana, and it's the same word we have seen earlier in the text. On account of which he had raped Tamar Achoto, his sister.
I thought Absalom, well, I'm so confused.
Go ahead, yeah.
I thought Absalom told Amnon
That was Jonadab. That was Amnon's friend, right? That was his friend. So there's three people there, and he just drops out. You know, you don't see anything more. And again, like we mentioned last time, what he exactly told Amnon to do and not do is not really said. It just said, you know, make. It could have been for a totally innocent reason, and Amnon, but I don't know. I doubt it. It's kind of strange. Okay, we'll stop here with the paragraph, and we will take it up. And notice, 2 years pass between this verse and the next verse. So 2 years go by. Okay.
See you 2 years.
Yeah. See you next Thursday. Have a great day.